Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we're so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, we're so excited to have Allison Centofonte joining us. Now, she is a pro-life advocate, a public speaker, and she also is the Vice President of Communications at Americans United for Life. And Allison is here to share with us what inspired her to get involved in pro-life work and to discuss the future of the pro-life movement in a post-Roe world. You could go out to the website, aul.org. And they didn't say the best part about Allison.
That's exactly what
she's a wife and a mother.
First.
Yeah, that's the best. And so she's going to share with us the great work then, the platform that God has given her to share from. She also was our banquet speaker this year back in November of 2024. So, and she did an outstanding job. And so you're going to get to hear her story and learn a little bit about Allison and Americans United.
Yes, we were thinking about our banquet speaker, which is a big deal, you know, for us. And so we were looking at different people and saw what Allison was doing and the breadth and scope of all the stuff she's done. But I did see a video of her, and I don't know where she was exactly. It may have been at the Supreme Court after the Roe decision. I don't know where she was there. And there were two pro-abortion women, at least, by her. It was really foul.
They were like,
the cussing in her face. Yeah, and I want to tell you, my feeling was like, I want to get between her and them and like, she's got something deep in her because she didn't like retaliate. She didn't do anything. She could have been spit upon, hit, whatever. But I mean, she's got something deep in her. When I saw that, I just said, I heard about all that she could speak and do. I just saw something here that was like at a level of discipline that I rarely see.
Right.
So we got to have her.
Yes.
So that's the kind of person she is, and you're going to really be blessed by Allison today and her sharing her own story and how to speak with others about the pro-life movement, how women need to be well-informed and speak into this themselves, and so on. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're thrilled to have with us Allison Centofonte. She is a pro-life advocate, a public speaker, and Vice President of Communications at Americans United for Life. Allison is here to share with us what inspired her to get involved in pro-life work and to discuss the future of the pro-life movement in a post-Roe world. Go out to the website, aul.org. Well, Allison, we're excited to have you again.
Aw, thank you for having me.
We just were with you in November when you did an outstanding job being our banquet speaker.
Thank you.
It was a wonderful banquet, so thank
you. It was. You planned a beautiful banquet, and everyone should go next year. It was great.
Yeah, it was a lot. It's like throwing a wedding every year.
I bet.
Yeah, but it's over now. And so here we are, and we want you first to tell our family a little bit about you, and then what got you involved in this work.
Thank you. Well, it's the privilege of a lifetime to get to talk about the work that I'm involved in saving innocent life and helping women avoid abortion or heal from abortion. I was a young girl when I first found out what an abortion was. I actually found out, interestingly enough, from my dad telling me that he had been through one before he was saved, and it just put me on a trajectory, I think, to care deeply about the lives lost. And since then, I've met hundreds of women who have shared their personal stories with me, and you just don't forget. They don't forget what they've been through, why they made that decision. They don't forget that child, and I feel as though I carry those stories with me in the work that I'm doing. Abortion hurts women. It always hurts a child. And I look forward to a future where we have no abortion. We end it. It's unthinkable, unneeded, unwanted, and that will be a great future for women.
Yeah, and it really is a matter of reviving a culture. And, you know, when Roe fell, I get a lot of people thought, oh, okay, well now abortion is going to be, you know, abortion's going to drop and nobody's going to want it anymore. And we know statistically that that's not true. There are states where you cannot have an abortion, and one of those is Alabama, for that we're grateful. And then there's heartbeat law in some states, but there are some states where it's still unregulated, right?
Yeah.
Like you can have an abortion up to 9 months. And so it is happening. So we need a revival, and I think the revival has to come. It's important to be involved in the political realm of it all, in the legislative realm of it all, but it really happens heart to heart. You as a child hearing a story and then how that gripped your heart.
Yeah.
And that sphere of influence that your father had in your life, and then how God has then sent you out to have such a great influence in so many other lives.
Thanks. I hope so, yeah. I mean, I think it's important to understand that what happened in Roe v. Wade being overturned by the Dobbs decision, what it did is return the issue back to the states. And so pro-life states like Alabama and Texas, they sought to protect all children. So they said no more abortion. But very pro-abortion states like Illinois, New York, California said, we're all in. We're going to write it into our state constitution. And we just saw more states do that, even in this latest election. And so the fight continues. That's an important part of this conversation with the pro-life movement is we're not done. The fight continues. We know the other side is never going to give up. They're always going to fight for more abortion. And so we have to be ready and be strategic and looking ahead at what they're doing to help prevent more children being lost. We have over 60 million children that have been lost. That's almost too big of a number to compare. Just think of one child, and one is too many. And so I really do think God is doing a great work in providing revival on college campuses, in churches across the country. But this is a political battle, like you said, cultural, but it's very much a spiritual battle too. And I wake up and we had a prayer meeting today actually at Americans United for Life, and we were just praying for all the women that were considering abortion. And so I know that's your heart as well. And so for those listening, there are women in our lives, maybe women listening right now that are in a hard spot considering abortion, and they need to know the love and the resources that are around them. And so that's what I'm dedicated to thinking about, connecting organizations on. There's a great big pro-life movement, and I kind of think about it as different parts of the body of Christ working together. You know, when a woman goes into an abortion clinic, she will likely pass, hopefully, Christians on the sidewalk praying, saying, we're here for you. If you want to create a custom adoption plan, we can do that. That's part of the movement. You've got legislatures talking to lawyers like I work with at AUL who say, okay, how can I find the most protective pro-life law in my state? Maybe I can't protect all the children, but maybe I can put parental consent in place to slow this down, or an ultrasound bill so this woman can see what's happening inside her womb, or a heartbeat bill so she can hear there's a heartbeat there. If we found that heartbeat on another planet, we would rejoice. Let's rejoice in the same way that that's happening within you. And so what is the most impactful state legislation that we can create that will be enforceable, that will be protective for women and children? That's good. There's college campus groups starting up of young people getting a voice around this human rights issue. So I just welcome everyone, get involved. This is a big tent movement and we need your voice.
Right, and those laws saved lives, and we saw them at our center when you had the 48-hour waiting period or the right to know, where then you were able to really empower the woman with all of her options and all of the truth that was before her, as opposed to going to an abortion clinic, not hearing the full story, not seeing the ultrasound, and having it done that day. The 48-hour waiting period is important because what it does, it slows down that train, the one that is being driven by fear and despair and hopelessness, when they can go into a pregnancy medical center and they're hearing the truth and somebody's throwing them a lifeline and they're saying, wait a minute, maybe I can do this, and trying to lift the veil of deception that she is so saturated in from this culture of death that we live in.
Right, well said. And We would not be the same country without pregnancy centers. Mm-hmm. And what people need to understand is that pregnancy centers are under attack right now, legislatively, sometimes physically by, you know, vandals on the other side of this issue. And we pray for them and we pray that no one would be hurt. But legislatively, you have states that are saying pregnancy centers like your own and others are not allowed to do what they do best. And they try and suppress your speech by saying, well, you have to refer for abortion. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in states like California. And you need attorneys to roll in, pro-life attorneys, to say, absolutely not. You cannot force a pregnancy center to refer for an abortion. It's the opposite of what they do. It would be like saying Home Depot, you got to go tell everyone where Lowe's is.
Right.
No
way.
Or go
to McDonald's and say, let me tell you, if you don't want a hamburger, you should. Let me tell you where you can get a good hot dog.
That's true.
I mean, that's absurd.
I know. And that's a kind of, you know, lighthearted joke. But for real, they are trying to shut down the great work of pregnancy centers. Pregnancy centers in this country outnumber Planned Parenthood abortion clinics by and large, which is wonderful. You guys offer free, often free or low cost, care for women, ultrasounds, parenting classes, diapers, all the things that women need to really feel supported in these very vulnerable moments. And so I just honor that great work. You know, at Americans United for Life, we just started a pregnancy center advocacy hub to allow pregnancy centers to directly contact their legislators when there's a piece of legislation that's threatening them. And so that's been really great. As soon as we hear something is threatening a pregnancy center's right to exist, we are able to call out the forces, the army of workers who understand what work you do better than anyone else, and call their legislator and say, knock it off, shut this down. So we've partnered with CareNet, with Heartbeat International and Lifeline on that. And that's on our website. So if you're involved or interested in defending PRCs, you can do that on our website.
Yeah. Perfect.
So you've said a lot of important things. You started out speaking about that it's been transferred from federal questions to local questions. And one of the things that Doug Keck, our chief operating officer, shared in one of his shows was he wanted to make sure people understood now that it's back to the states, and when it comes for a time of decision and any sorts of votes, that you are now voting for abortion, personally, or not. Mm. When it was federal, there was nothing to vote on. Mm. You know, it was like, what laws can we maybe get in at a particular time that the court would consider? He said, you have to understand now that it's back to the states, and you're being asked to vote on life and death. Mm. You're now, you're personally. Proximate to what's going on here, and you have less mitigating forgiveness situations now. Do you understand? And I guess that's a whole educational thing as well, to understand you're up closer now in this. There's more liability for you and how you decide things. You just can't say, you know, I'm in on this or that, or
it's out of my hands.
It's to you now.
Now with these state ballot initiatives, it's in the hands of voters once again. And so that's empowering in some ways, that you can have an active voice in this. And we just saw in Florida, voters turned out in droves to secure a heartbeat bill in Florida, which is great, but just by the skin of their teeth.
And that was a 60% margin, right? Okay.
Exactly. So that was a good example of putting it in the hands of voters. It also, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, exposes legislatures who are going to say, oh, I don't know, I don't have a hand in it. Now we can more clearly know where our politicians stand. So people need to pay attention, see how they're voting, see how they're talking about this. You know, in Florida, the example, we knew where Governor DeSantis stood. He talked about it. He led. He was a good messenger. He got good pro-life doctors around him. That was a great case study in how to do a ballot initiative well. But I will say, while it's at the states right now, abortion does have a federal element to it. We are paying for and propping up the nation's largest abortion provider with our tax dollars. That's Planned Parenthood. Abortion is a federal issue when you have our tax dollars going to prop up abortion facilities. So that's one thing we're calling on Congress to do, is defund Planned Parenthood finally of the tax dollars we give them. They should not be allowed to use our money to end the lives of children, to hurt women. And money's fungible, and they're corrupt. So we already know what they're doing there. Mm-hmm. But also, I look back at the history of the civil rights movement and where we are in history now. Sure, it's at the state level, but we don't wait for all the states to say slavery is wrong. We know that it is wrong to treat human beings a certain way, to degrade them as less than human. And that is what we're doing with abortion right now. We are looking at the preborn child and saying, because of your level of development, because of your dependency, you are less than. And that is not what our law says. Our law says you have an equal right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so that's what we are working on, is allowing there to be the same legal protections that you and I face for that preborn innocent child. And I hope that we get to a place one day where they have the same protection that we do.
Well, the thing that we have to be careful as we go forward is this verbal engineering. Because people in Ohio thought they were voting one way and they actually are voting another way.
True.
Because the devil is the master of deception. So people are like, well, I didn't understand, because people were ignorant. You know, and they thought, I thought my yes meant a yes, but it was meaning a no. So that is important, you know, as you move forward with Americans United for Life. And so, because the people need to be empowered with the truth.
Yes.
Because there is that verbal engineering going on. You're like, and it becomes so confusing.
Yes, convoluted. Right? Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
just like, I didn't know that was going to happen. So, and we have to pay attention, especially on the legislative aspect with it all.
Yeah.
So you said a beautiful thing which made my heart happy. You know, you are, we are advancing. We hope and pray that abortions are dropping. We know that girls are doing their homework with their phones. And if I can't have an abortion here because of the gestational age, they know where to go. And but there are pro-lifers out in front of those abortion clinics in those states. And we had a beautiful abortion pill reversal because of the pro-lifers that were out there in Georgia.
Oh, good.
Right? And
good. So a woman went in. And she was able to get connected to abortion pill reversal because of the work you were doing?
Yeah, but she took that first pill.
Wow.
And then got back in her car and started crying. And the boyfriend was given the pink card, the abortion pill reversal information, and called that 1-800 number for her. She called the doc here in Birmingham, and then he called us. He prescribed her the progesterone. She started it ASAP.
That's awesome.
We are, the Pregnancy Resource Center's commitment was to scan her for those every week up to the 9 weeks until she was passed and the baby was fine and healthy, and then we were able to refer her to an OBGYN.
Good.
She delivered a beautiful baby boy.
Yay, that's wonderful. See, that abortion pill reversal you just mentioned, though, that is something that the bad actors, the bad politicians would love you to stop talking about. And so for those who don't understand, the pill, we call it the abortion pill, but it's really a two-part pill, as you guys know. And when the woman takes that first pill and it cuts off progesterone, which you mentioned, that's nutrition for the baby. The second pill pretty much induces labor of a dead child. But if you can get progesterone to that woman, reintroduce progesterone within 72 hours, you could potentially save the life of that baby. And we've met children that have been saved. And so I always say to people who are like, oh, I feel kind of tired in my faith, or I don't know, I think, get into our movement. We it's life and death. Your heart will never beat faster than when maybe you're on the sidewalk of one of these facilities praying or talking to a girl, volunteering at a pregnancy center and saying, listen, there's a little life on the line here. Trust me, your prayer life will change when you have a girl that you can pray for and really support.
We're going to pause at this point, hold you over for the final segment, speaking with Allison Centofante, Vice President of Communications at Americans United for Life. Everything pro-life here. We'll be right back. More to come. Don't go away. Continuing our conversation with Allison Centofante. I just want to move into this area. I mean, you do so much with legal issues and communications and so on, but communication is just kind of like one-on-one. Maybe best ways to win somebody to our side of things, to the Lord's side of things, or maybe it's confrontation and how to handle that. So conversations personally.
That's a great question, and I dealt with it. We all, if you're in the movement, you deal with it online, in person, family members disagreeing with you. I will say, I think finding common ground is extremely helpful. I will often hear from someone who's concerned about women dying. They'll say, well, I can't be pro-life because I don't want any women to die. I think that's awesome. Me neither. So let's go there. You know, why do you think women will die? And Jesus was a great example of this. He asked a lot of questions before he started explaining. So why do you think women will die? Oh, I read a story about it. Okay, let's talk about that. I don't want women to die either. I want them to have the best care, best maternal care, and after. I care about the woman in the womb and the mom. So, oh, really? You do? Yes. And then now all of a sudden we're having a conversation. We're on common ground. So that's one tip. If it's a more hostile conversation, which you mentioned a video of me at the Supreme Court, I was getting berated.
It didn't look like a conversation.
It didn't. That was not common ground. This woman, though, I could tell immediately was hurting.
Oh, yeah.
She came up to me. I was holding a pro-life sign, and she berated me, and I just saw a lot of pain in her eyes. Mm. And it's really important in the work we do to stay very, you know, truthful, but also very loving. Because there are so many people that are hurting. And that woman who said right there, she said, I needed my abortion. Mm. I knew that that anger was coming from that place.
Wow.
And so just by the Holy Spirit, I was able to stay calm and see her the way God sees her, like a hurting woman. And so hurting people hurt people. And I mentioned her to her then and in an interview on Tucker Carlson after that, I pray for her healing. And I have to say that today. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention there is healing. Mm-hmm. For all who have experienced abortion, women who have walked that path, men who have maybe stood idly by or actively participated, like my own father, but there's forgiveness. That's the good father that we have. And we want you to be healed, forgiven, and share your story, because those are some of the most important, impactful stories. Women who have walked that path, people like my friend Toni McFadden, she goes around the country and talks about it. It really does change women's minds when they say, oh, you've been through this and you regret it, but you still are using your voice to help me. That's so amazing. The devil wants you in shame, and he wants you in the dark, and he wants you to feel alone. And so I just want to say that is how there is healing here on this side of things. The other side doesn't want you to talk about it, doesn't want you to say it hurt. We are comfortable with that, and there's great ministries out there to help women with that.
Right. Allison, thank you so much. Thank God we have you
thank you again
tomorrow for another show. So much to share, and welcome to the EW10 family.
Appreciate it.
Pray this show, this time, has been very meaningful for you, and the Lord is here for you. John Paul II said that not only does God want to forgive you, but you may become one of the most eloquent spokespersons on behalf of life. We love them both, the baby in the womb, the mothers, post-abortion healing. Mm-hmm. It's all there in the pro-life movement. You're never alone. You're an important part of the CW10 family, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.